So tonight we're going to be doing Mishlei Perek Gimel, Sukkim Yud Gimel, to the end of the Perek, which is Lamed Hay. So I guess it's around 23 Psukim. I'm going to try to do it. We'll see if we get there. If we don't, we'll continue next week. Okay, it's really in the midst of the section about the Chachma, about the value of wisdom. So I'm calling the entire section Ode. It's an Ode to Wisdom. But I'm breaking it up into three different sections, what we're doing tonight. Hopefully we at least get to two of them. And again, I'm not going to read, I'm going to do them really in three completely separate sections. So I'm not going to read them all. I'll read one, each section as it begins. Okay. So let us, we'll start with Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Ches. Okay. There's one point I wanted just to make overall. It's kind of a little bit of a general point in what we're doing, is to realize that these psukim of what we've been doing last week, this week, next week, they're analyzing the value of wisdom and knowledge and the Torah from many different angles, taking up a lot of details, different ways of looking at the whole thing. And the point is in part it is to analyze it intellectually, but a major part of what you're trying to do is, it's not exactly an intellectual activity as much as through doing this, going through these psukim, talking about this idea, spending time on it, you're trying to appreciate the idea of wisdom. Not exactly intellectually. There's an emotional component to the whole thing. Emotional is not exactly the right word. It's a hybrid of the emotion, intellect, but it's appreciating wisdom, the value of wisdom, what it does for you. But there's an activity of appreciating wisdom, and that's really what we're doing tonight and last week and the next week is learning through the value of Torah and Chachma in order to have the appreciation for it. It's not really just it's not like we're analyzing a blot of Gemara here, where we're trying to really get down to the fundamental ideas intellectually to cognize it. But the essence of what we're doing is this, it's an activity of appreciating wisdom. Okay, and the way you appreciate wisdom is by studying it and studying wisdom as the subject itself. Wisdom is what you use to analyze other things, but then it's reflective. You could use Chachma to study itself. And when you do that, you're engaged not just in intellectual pursuit, but in the activity of appreciating the value of wisdom. Okay, so again, this first section, these first six psukim, are about the preciousness of wisdom, why it's so precious. Okay, and you'll see why I titled it that way. Okay, so I'll read these six psukim. And look, these psukim from, these sections of Mishlei, these Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, a lot of them are famous. You'll have heard them before. And they're rich and there's a lot of depth to them. But again, we're doing them more in an overview sense to try to get basic ideas for them using Rashi. But the ideas are very rich and they connect to many areas of the Torah. And we're obviously not going to have time to go into them. Each pasuk is a shiur in its own right. Okay, so let me read these second verse. So you get most. Ashrei Adam Matza Chachma V'Adam Yafik Tivuna. So fortunate is the person who finds wisdom. And the person who's able to bring out creativity. Okay. Ki tov sachra mishar kasav, because it's business. It's schora. It's exchange. It's right. Its exchange is greater than the exchange of money. U'mecharetz tivuasa, and its produce is better than gold, fine gold. Yikarihi mipninim, it's more precious than pearls, the chol chefatzecha lo yishvuba, and all your treasures are not equal to her. Orech yamin biyamina, length of days in her to her right, bismola osher kavod, in her left is wealth and honor. Diracheha darche noam. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba v'simcha ha-me'ushar. So she is a tree of life to those that grab hold of her, and to those that are close to her are fortunate. Okay. So again, these psukim probably ring a bell, most of them for you. So let's take them up one by one. These form a section of showing you, comparing that wisdom is very precious. The Torah is a precious commodity, and these psukim will you use Rashi to try to get some basic idea for them. Okay, so pasuk Yud Gimel is Asher Adam Matzah Chacham of Adam Yafik Tivuna. So fortunate is a person who finds wisdom and a person who who's able to think creatively. So Rashi says, Adam Yafik Tfuna is Shalomin Chachmat Shagur Hi Lotzim Yipiv. Is a person who's able to learn wisdom to the point where he's basically fluent and able to discuss it. It's Shagur Bifiv. You just talk to them and they're able to speak wisdom and Chachma. It's not just something that, like, that if you ask them a question, they could look it up in a book, they could find it, they could think with it a little bit, but basically becomes their entire speech. It's like it's a fluency in wisdom, where we really they embody wisdom, and it comes out of their everything they speak is filled with knowledge and understanding. Okay, so I think the basic idea, and you know, the pasuk is that even though it's true, wisdom is this amazing thing. The Torah is great. It's incredible, like we've been discussing the past couple of weeks, and we'll continue to discuss. And it's awesome. Chachma is really an awesome thing. But it's not so common that a person appreciates it. It's for some reason, and that it's not going to go into, and I don't, you know, it's whatever, there's reasons, but it's rare that you find a person who appreciates the value of Chachma, appreciates the value of reason. Is even though it is amazing, it's not, for some reason, it's people are much more interested in their taivas and their money and their kavod and all these other things we were discussing last week. That's really what interests people, and they don't appreciate the value of Chachma. Is it not because Chachma is not amazing, the Torah is not amazing, it is amazing, but that doesn't mean that its amazingness, the amazingness and the greatness of Torah and Chachma is apparent to people. And a person who is able, who's found wisdom, who's, in a sense, he's found what he's looking for. If they're looking for, a person's looking for something like to give them meaning, to give them direction, to guide them, guide their behaviors. And if you find Chachma and you found and you appreciate it and you realize how good it is, you're very fortunate, because most people have not come to that recognition. Okay. And certainly, as rare as it is, a person who appreciates Chachma, it's even rarer to find somebody who really has able to appreciate it to the point where they make it their essence. And it's Shagur Befiv, and it comes out of their mouth and everything they say, and it characterizes all their actions and their whole way of life. And again, not because it's not amazing. It's just because it people's initial instincts always generally dominate their life and their behavior. And for Chachma to take over is not very common. Kitov Sachra Mishar Kasef. Right, so wisdom, the exchange of wisdom.
Yeah, Rabbi Zimmer.
Okay, so Yudalit is Kitov Sachar Mishar Kesef Micharis Tivuasa. So Rashi is like this: Kocha Lipinch Adam Machlip Bishora. So anytime that you, when you exchange something in business, and you make an exchange, a trade, Zenotozev, Zenotozev. So you exchange, one person takes one thing, the other person takes this thing, so you're machlif par bechamor, right? One guy gets a donkey, one guy gets the cow. Aval omer chaveiro shneili pirkecha v'niyesh lecha pirki. You make a trade, you teach me a bava kama, I'll teach you bava metzia. Yintir shneim biyad kol echa v'echa. It comes out that both of them have bava kama and bava metzia. Right? So, okay, so it's why is it's trying to show why is Chachma, why is Torah better than material things? So so Chachma is a resource, it's a good, it's one of the good things in this world, but it has a quality of being like an infinite resource, in the sense that when a person is creative, so he starts off with a certain amount of ideas and he's able to create more ideas on his own. Yapik Tfuna. And when you exchange it with somebody else, everybody ends up, it's like normally you exchange, yeah, you get the power, you get the chamor, you switch them. But here with Chachma, it's like everybody gets more and more and more, and you teach it. You don't lose the idea. You still have the idea that you have, and they have the idea too, and then they teach you, and you get more ideas. So it partakes of the infinite wisdom in the sense that it can constantly be created more and more, and nobody has to lose. As opposed to physical goods. So physical goods are finite and they're limited, and people fight over them. And if you know, if you have something, then they don't have it. And if you want to get something, you have to give up something. There's no free lunches. Okay, you have the printing press, maybe a little bit. But other than that, you know, there's no free lunch, and you have to exchange and you have to lose. And it's, and the whole Kotz V'Dar, the whole economics is all predicated on the fact that there's a scarcity of goods. But in Torah and in the Chachma, there's no, it's unlimited. There's really no limit to how much Chachma can be out there. It's just, as long as a person wants to create new ideas, there it's available, and you want to learn from somebody else, you can get that. They don't have to lose. So it's like a better business to go into, the business of ideas and the exchange of ideas, because it's not a zero sum game. It's not something where everybody has to, you know, somebody gains, somebody loses, but it can be everybody gains more and more and more. It has that property of the infinite that the physical does not partake of. Okay. Again, if after any of these, anybody wants to interject, they have any questions. Otherwise, I'll keep moving through these psukim in the interest of seeing the full ideas. Okay, we'll reflect on it after we see the all six of them. But if anybody has any comments in the middle, perfectly fine. Okay, Yekarhi Mipninim. So it's more precious than pearls, and all your treasures are not its equal. Okay, so here I think what the idea of pearls, it's like gems. It's like idea of like a pearls is it's like the ultimate compact value is like pearls or diamonds or some sort of gems, precious stones. It's like the, you know, if you want to concentrate wealth into the smallest possible, you know, highest density of wealth, you look for pearls or precious gems, things like that. So it's the idea is that Torah is a greater concentration, more precious, in the sense that in the with you know, with one pearl, one you can buy a tremendous amount, you can exchange it for a tremendous amount. But for one idea of Chachma can get you the benefit from an idea, from an insight, you know, that a person can have, it can be the amount of good that can come from one insight, from one, you know, well, one idea can be tremendous. There's no real, it's a disproportionate. Your leverage with an idea to how much good you can bring about for yourself, for others, for the world, is even greater than with pearls. The amount of value you can pack into a small little pearl, an idea can really bring you even more than that. I don't think it necessarily means every single idea you have is going to give you that kind of leverage, that you're going to get that kind of benefit. But, you know, Chachma has that potential that a person can have a certain insight. It could save his life, could save his whole town, the whole country can be saved by one concept, one idea, one important move to make, how you treat somebody in the right situation, what you say, what you do, how you prepare for something, things like that. So, you know, the whole society could be saved by one person having the insight at the right moment. So it's in terms of the best bang for your buck, the highest concentration of value is wisdom, is a greater concentration than even like the highest, like pearls or anything like that. And further, all your desires are not equal to it, because like all your desires are really a means to an end. There's no real, you know, money as an end in its own right. What's the purpose of it? Money gets you something. It's all these things. They're just means to something else. But Chachma is an end in its own right. So like nothing else can really be equal to it. You know, just intrinsically, since wisdom is the end and all these things are means, wisdom is always going to be qualitatively more valuable than any of these other things.
Okay. Is there?
Yes. Okay, yeah. So Donnie's asking that It sounds like Rashi's translating is all your treasures, chemdosecha, like all the things you treasure and desire are not equal to it. It's not just money, but it's all your desires. You're saying like family and friends and all those things. So, I mean, it's basically what we discussed a little bit last week. And while it's hard for people to accept, I think that's like the Parsha of Eov. Parsha of Eov showed you that even though his family, his kids, his physical health and all his money, that's what he lost in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and Eov, until eventually he came to the recognition that that's not really the ultimate good. The ultimate good is Yedias Hashem. We come to that towards the end of Sefer Eov. So as difficult as it is for a person to appreciate, even those things, Bane Chayim Mizonai, even though we think that those are things that really are ends in their own right, they're not really the ultimate goods in this world. And the ultimate good in this world really is Yedias Hashem. That's really the knowledge of God's wisdom and God's Chachma. And therefore, these other things are nice and they're important and we care about them. But really, they're there for a purpose, and that's to serve God in order to recognize God. And these things, as an end in their own right, they fail. They fail to be. You know, that's really a Koheles topic of the, why these things fail to be satisfying to a person as an end in their own right, but they do. So that's what I would say is it's not just money. You're right. Money is clearly a means to an end, but it's not just, it's everything. All your desires, all your other desires are not really goals that are worthy of making the end of your, what you seek. I believe it's ringing a bell. I think the Rambam at the end of the Mor Nevuchim in Chel Gimel Perek Nun Dalet. So I think he actually brings down this Chazal. He says the way Chazal explain it, it explains like the entirety of everything he said up to there. And that's like the pasuk I think in Yirmiyahu, Ayisal Chacham B'Chachmaso, Agibar V'Raso, Ashab Asho, Ki Mizos Yisal Masala Haske V'Yodeo Si, Ki Niyashem Zechetz Estak Mishra Baretz. So, Nu Mashem. So it's that all the different perfections of man, the material perfection, the bodily perfection, the social perfection, all those things are not really the ultimate good for a person, but it's rather the knowledge of God. So you're right. It's not just money, but it's kol chemdosecha, everything you desire. All your desires really are, you know, and again, I think to develop the point is really Koheles in a certain sense. But I think that's why, in a certain qualitative sense, they lack the value. They lack the ability to be in ends, to be satisfied. And it's only really knowledge of God and His Torah and His universe that really, and His ways, the Darkei Hashem, that really can satisfy a person. But again, to develop, that's really that's that chapter in the Rambam, the last chapter in the Mor Nevuchim. Orech yamim b'yimino b'smol oshev kavod. So length of days in it, to her right, and to her left is wealth and honor. So Rashi is b'yamina, le ma'iminim ba, to those who are right with it. V'uskim ba l'shma, orech yamim, v'kolskin oshev kavod. So those who act right with the Torah, and they're involved in Torah l'shma, then they have length of days. And of course, they have wealth and honor. But bismola l'mas me'ilimba, those who are left with it, okay? What does it mean to be left with the Torah? Not right, to be left. Uskim ba shalol d'shma, you learn Torah not for the sake of Torah. Mikol makom, nevertheless, osher v'kavod yesh, you still have wealth and honor. Okay, so if you're involved in Torah, shalol d'shma, osher v'kavod, wealth and honor. But if you're involved in Torah d'shma, not only do you have wealth and honor, but you also have orech yamim, length of days. Okay. So even though it's not truly appropriate to be involved in Chachma as a means to an end, because then in a certain sense, you're missing the whole point, everything we've been saying, that the objective of life and the true good is really Chachma and Torah. That's really the ultimate objective and purpose of a person. And if you use Torah as a means to an end, you're really making Osher and Kavod your real objective. That's where you're valuing them. And you're really missing the whole appreciation of what wisdom really is. It's the goal of everything. Nevertheless, If you want osher and kavod, you want to be respected and you want wealth, the best way to get that is chachma. That's still the best way to do it, is to be a chacham and to analyze how to make money and to analyze people. What do people respect? What do people look up to? What kind of people do they not respect? How do you get money? What are the ways to lose money? How do you prevent that? What are appropriate risk taking? All these different ideas. The best method to becoming rich and famous, I shouldn't say famous, rich and respected is chachma. It's not what you should be doing in a sense, because you're still missing the whole point in the sense of what is the goal of life. But that still, it shows you to appreciate the value of wisdom. It's even if you use it simply as a means to an end, you will be better off pursuing osher and kavod, using chachma to get you there, and then if you pursue osher and kavod like a fool, do you know what I mean? That they just you know, tries to get money by following what everybody else is doing, doesn't analyze the problem and figures, you know, how am I going to get osher and kavod? I know I'm going to go to the best college I can get into and take out the biggest loans I can, because that's what everybody else is doing. And you know, then you get trapped in student debt and you have a sociology degree, and then you, well, what happened to, oh, fine, everybody else gets screwed too, but that doesn't help you. So you got to use your chachma. You can't just follow the herd. You know, you can't just follow what everybody else is doing. You want wealth and you want honor. You have to use your mind. You have to analyze the problem, analyze people, psychology, and understand what people, how people respond to, and what makes a person successful. And chachma is still the best method of getting osher and kavod. But for orech yamim, okay, and I think orech yamim means, and Rashi doesn't quite explain what he means by orech yamim. I think it means olam haba. I think it means true perfection. That's only if you're osek in Torah lishma. Okay, if you're osek in Torah shelo lishma, that's not olam haba. You don't perfect your soul if you're involved in Torah shelo lishma. If you're involved in chachma for the sake of getting osher and kavod, you're not going to have a chelik olam haba from that. Right? Like the Rambam in his Perish Mishnayos 2, Makos, on Ruchanani ben Ikasha, or Ratzakash Baruch Lezakas Yisrael. So he says, Rafika Chirbalim Torah Mitzvos. Okay, so it's because that way you'd at least do something lishma. You need to do mitzvah lishma, biosik and Torah lishma. Is your chelik in olam haba, and your orach yamim is contingent on your values, what you hold to be the true good. And if you're involved in Torah lishma, then that changes your soul, that perfects you. But if you're involved in Torah shelo lishma because you want to gain wealth, and you know Torah makes you wise, learning Gemara, nothing will sharpen your mind like Gemara. The world hasn't come up with any method of developing a person's ability to think that's at all even close to the ability of thinking and training that we have through the learning Gemara, things like that. And if you're involved in Torah and Gemara simply for the ability to learn and to analyze so you can be a successful businessman and make money and get kavod and things like that, you'll be a good businessman. You'll get a lot of kavod. You'll break down the problem. You'll understand, you know, through all the benefits that chachma gives you. But you're not going to perfect your soul. The orech yamim comes because you realize the value of chachma and you appreciate it, and that will give you the perfection, the orech yamim. But as a tool, it's still the best tool out there, you know. So if you do lishma, you'll have everything, you know. Be osek in lishma, then you'll perfect your soul, and you'll have chachma, will give you osher and kavod. But still, shelo lishma, it doesn't take away. Torah can still be used as a tool. It's wrong, and you know, mishtayish b'tag b'chalaf, it's a bad idea. But it's still the best method. Still the best method of attaining osher and kavod is using chachma, as opposed to the other person. I don't know, maybe not using Torah, chachma in particular. Torah might be a separate problem, chil Hashem. Okay. Yud Zayin. Diracheha darchei Noam v'chol nesivosei ha-shalom. So all the ways of Torah are pleasant and their paths are peace. So I think the Derech HaTorah, the ways of the Torah, and Chachma, it sets up different paths and different ways for a person to live and how they should. It's not like we said, we described it as the King's Highway. There's a straight path, but there's many branches and many ways of the Torah. And there's different ways a person can go based on various situations, different personalities, different societies. The Torah is very flexible, it's multifaceted, and Chachma also, that's part of what makes it unique, the versatility of Torah, and the different possible ways that it teaches you how to deal with life and the options it presents you. But all the different ways of Torah and all the different midos and the different personalities that the Torah produces. If you study the characters of Tanakh and those perfections and all those things, all different ways the Torah, they're going to have two characteristics of peace and Noam, of pleasant. Okay, and if you see a derech of life, a derech hachayim, a way of life, or a particular midah or certain behavior, and it does not, it's not shalom, and it's not Noam, and it's not pleasant, it's something that's intrinsically distasteful, it's or leads to fighting and things like that, then you can be sure that that's not the derech haTorah. That this is a criteria you can use if you're not sure what exactly is the Torah say to do in this situation. What's the derech of chachma? What you can see is this the path of shalom? Is this the path of Noam, of pleasant and appropriate? And if it's not, then you know you're off. When Chazal want to figure out what a hadas is for right kapos, maybe it's pre etz hadar or for whatever it's anaf etz avos. So it can't be certain things because derech noam can't have thorns on it. We just know the Torah wouldn't select something that's going to have thorns on it. So it's a methodology in a sense of figuring out what are the Darkei Torah is. It has these characteristics. Now, I just want to explain one thing, is that for most people in many situations, listening, doing the things the Torah wants you to do, or not doing things the Torah doesn't want you to do, it will be felt as painful. Do you understand? It doesn't mean it's, when I say that the Torah is pleasant, it's pleasant for the perfected individual. The Torah is not telling you to gash yourself. The Torah doesn't tell you to, you know, circumcise your heart in a literal sense. The Torah wouldn't tell you to do something like that. But it doesn't mean that, like, the Torah might tell you, don't eat a cheeseburger, and that's not going to be fun for you because it tastes good and you smells good and you want to eat it. So it's going to be painful for you to control your taivas. Yes, that will be felt as painful. But what it means is, and for a person who is a Baal Taiva, the Torah is the most difficult way of life, and it is painful to follow the Torah. And I think the Rambam in Chelek Beis the Mora, apparently we're bringing the Rambam a lot here, is he explains that's like the by Moshe Beinu in Parshas Ekev. He says, "Mashem lekecha sholmi imach," right? What does God ask for you? It says, "To years Hashem lekecha, la'avosel davke bo, la'avodas Hashem b'chol vavcha b'chol nashecha." Right, it's to serve God and to fear Him with all your heart and all your soul. And the Gemara says, that's so much. Is that so little? Well, why is Moshe Beinu making it seem like it's not a big deal? And the answer is, the Gemara says, for Moshe Beinu, is a gavra rabba. So for Moshe Beinu, it's not a big deal, but for us, it is a big deal. But the point of Moshe, so what's the point of Moshe Beinu telling us, making it seem like it's not a big deal to follow the entire Torah and to love God and to cling to Him? It's to show you that for the normal person, the healthy person, the person who's perfected his soul, the ways the Torah are the derech of the perfected individual, and they're pleasant and they're easy and they're not difficult. There's no struggle. The reason we face such a struggle is because we're trying to change ourselves and we're crooked and we're bent, and the Torah is trying to make us straight and iron out all the wrinkles and the problems that we have. And that process of going from being a crooked person to a straight person is painful. And that's what the Torah, that's the regimen of the Torah, is designed to perfect the person. That's painful. But when you analyze, is the derech haTorah Noam, is it pleasant, and is it shalom and peace and tranquility, you have to analyze it for a person who's not a distorted, corrupt person. For that person, it's going to be a pleasant derech. It's not going to be intrinsically painful and difficult. Okay, that's what it means. Is derech haTorah Noam b'chol nefesivos haShalom means like an intrinsic, objective analysis, not for the Baal Taiva, or the person who likes to fight a lot. Then a person who likes to fight a lot, to tell him, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't criticize somebody, don't take revenge. It's awful, it hurts, it's painful. It's not, you know, it creates tremendous conflict and strife internally for him. So this means for the perfected person. That's the objective characteristic of the Darkei Torah. Okay. And the last pasuk in this section is Yitzchayim hi l'machazikim ba v'simchehem u'shar. Right, so it's a tree of life for those that grab hold of it, right? And those that are close to it, simcha means those that are close to it are fortunate. So I don't quite know exactly what this means. There's many different ways of going Eitz Chaim. One is you can go to Gan Eden as a possibility. I've heard a lot of different other pshatim, but I think to me the and it's a little speculative, but an Eitz Chaim means that like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he's living a on his outside his cave, him and his son Rabbi Eliezer, the boxer tree grows outside of it. Like an Eitz Chaim means like a person can sustain himself on a tree that produces food. It's a tree of life because you could live off of that tree. So the Torah is like, it's like the Torah is a complete comprehensive system of life that you can live off of. You can use the Torah. And you don't need to make recourse to other things. It can sustain you. It can nourish you. It can give you. This is look for a complete way of life can give you satisfaction and guidance and a happy, full, complete existence. If you hold on to it, if you don't, you don't become deterred. When people, there are obstacles to keeping the Torah, and there are people who will try to convince you not to, and there are things that are going to make you have questions, and it's a battle. It really is a battle in life to hang on to the Torah. And, every person I think goes through, especially in the modern world, I wouldn't say constantly, but periodically, you're going to be faced with challenges that are going to make you want to, not necessarily hold on to the Torah. It's going to make you give up on the Torah in part, in whole. You'll come across people, situations that make it difficult when bad things happen to a person. There's constantly challenges that a person of whether you're going to stick with the Torah, you're going to grab hold of the Torah or not. And person needs to develop this appreciation, the value of wisdom and the value of the Torah, to realize it's good, such that when the situation is such, when you're faced with obstacles, when you're faced with doubts and situations like that, you grab hold of the Torah and you do not let go. You have this primary attachment to Torah that's fundamental and deep, and it's an Eitz Chaim, and you do not let go of it. You're machzik in it. You hold on to it, irrespective of the situation. So it's like a deep faith that comes from understanding what the Torah is, even though you're going to be faced with doubts and struggles and challenges that make you question it. You have to, in a sense, fight those off and hold on to the Torah and stay close to the Torah. And that's not easy. I mean, maybe some chehem u'shar, if you're able to do that, not every person has that ability within them to really develop that relationship to Torah and to hold on in the face of tremendous adversity. And that's why we lose so many people, again, especially in the modern world, to the secular age and to minus and to all these problems, because not everybody has that capacity to develop the attachment to Torah that they can cling and they can hold on to it when they're faced with true adversity. And the person who is able to stay close to Torah, no matter what the situation, Musha, they're fortunate to have that internal capacity to do that. Okay, so move on to the second section here. Again, that first section, it's again a famous psukim that are used throughout the liturgy all the time, in order to, the idea is again, it's an analysis of wisdom for the purpose of appreciating the greatness of it, and not just intellectually, but just going through these nuances and seeing what's really amazing about it. So those six psukim are really beautiful psukim, and we use them all the time. Now let's move on to psukim Yud Tes to Chavav, and then that will be all we do tonight, I think. Okay, so again, I'll read them, these seven psukim, and then we'll go through them with Rashi. So pasuk Yud Tes is Hashem bechachma yasad aretz konin shemayim betunaso. So Hashem with wisdom founded the laid the foundations of the earth. He founded the heavens with understanding. Bidaito to homos nivkao, through his knowledge, the depths, the water, the depths of the oceans or the water, burst open. Ushchakim yafutal, and the heavens dripped dew. Bini al yaluzu meinecha, my son, do not let it be bent or removed from your eyes. Nitzor tushio mizima, guard the Torah. Tushio mizima are two words for the Torah. Guard the Torah. V'yu chayim l'nafshecha, and it will be life for your soul. V'chein l'gagrosecha, and grace for your neck. like a necklace of grace. Oz teilech lebetach darkecha, then you will walk confidently, securely on your way. Viraglecha lo sigov, and your feet will not stumble. They will not bang into things, bang. Im tishkav lo sivchad, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. Vishachavta v'arvash nasecha, and you will lie down, and your sweet will be your sleep will be sweet. Al tira mipachad pisom, you will not fear from sudden terrors. Umishoas v'shaim kisavo, and from like the the dark terror of wicked people when it comes. Ki Hashem yia bechislecha. Because Hashem will be your security, v'shamar aglecha milached, and He will protect your feet from any type of traps. Okay. Okay. Oh, so it's tough psukim. The rest of the shayla is tough psukim to put together. Let me take up the first four psukim as a unit here, okay? The first four psukim here, Yates Tu Chapez. We'll deal with it basically in two separate, break up this section as a whole into two separate units. Hashem Echach Mayasad Arts, Konein Shemayim Bisfuna, B'day Tatomas Nivka V'shchakim Yarfutal. So basically, it means that Hashem built the world, the heavens and the earth with wisdom, with understanding, with His knowledge, the oceans, and the water cycle. And my son, do not let this idea be removed from your eyes. You always guard the Torah, and it will be life for your soul, and it will be grace for your neck. Okay. So Rashi says like this. He says, Hashem b'chach miyasa aretz. He says, with wisdom, is al pi ha-Torah, v'hi ha-tfuna, v'hi ha-das. Okay. So this section has a, so when it says chachma, tfuna, and das, it means Torah. Okay, so it's, yes, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but it also means essentially Torah. Okay, so there's an equation Rashi is drawing again in these psukim in particular between God laying the foundations of the world through knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and based upon the Torah. Okay, what does that mean? Once the whole world is created through them, the Torah, right? Don't let them, the ideas of Torah and wisdom, be removed, bent away from your eyes to remove them from in front of you. And it will be life for your soul. Like the passage just said before, it's chayim. And it'll be grace for your, like a necklace of grace. It's a reference to the pasuk in Perek Aleph of Mishlei, like the very beginning of Mishlei, that it'll be like a necklace for your neck, an adornment. Okay. So what's the pshat? What is going on here? I'd like to say that there's The idea that Mishlei is trying to bring out here, and Rashi in particular, is that the whole universe runs upon wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It's not something that's just like a cute little tool that human beings have come up with, and we're monkeys have come up with it, and we've come up with even better tools of doing it. But it's the wisdom permeates the creation. It's the underlying fabric of the creation is wisdom. It's chachma. It's the blueprint of the world. It is based upon knowledge and ideas. And there's a underlying chachma in every single nook and cranny of the entire universe. And that chachma, that deep chachma that permeates the universe, it also permeates the Torah. It's part of the Torah, al pi ha-Torah. And therefore, if you follow the Torah, if you nitzor tushia muzima, if you follow the Torah, you're in line with like the underlying reality of the universe, because the true reality of the universe is really chachma. That's what everything is based upon, everything is founded upon. In a sense, the things that you see, the heavens and the earth and the water and the dew and the oceans, all those things are really expressions of the deep chachma in physics and chemistry and biology and all the principles of cosmology, all the mathematics that's everywhere that governs the whole universe. Those are the same principles that operate in the Torah. And there's like a, and it's the same system, an underlying system of wisdom that runs through both of them. And when you're living a life based upon chachma, when you're following the system of the Torah, you're living a life that's in line with reality. Why? Because reality works upon these same principles. The bedrock of reality is wisdom. The bedrock of reality is not energy and momentum. The bedrock of reality is a chachma. It's a much deeper abstract concept than something physical. And that's the gufa, that's exactly the same thing that underlies the entire Torah. The organizing principle, it's that at its core, at the foundation of the whole thing is not a physical entity, but it's a conceptual entity of chachma. That's really the underlying method by which God made the world, is he took chachma and made the world. He took chachma and made the Torah. And that's why you want to be in line with the Torah, and why in line with the way that living a life of the Torah is, you're living a life in line with reality. Because this idea of chachma, tefillah, and das, that's the same thing that's equal to the Torah. That the Torah is chachma, tefillah, and das, and that's what the world is. And therefore, this great thing of wisdom and knowledge, understanding should determine the principles by virtue of which you lead your life, and that you're going to be successful and you're going to be in line with the reality. You're not fighting the world. That's the secret to the world, the chachma. I mean, science has discovered that. It took them a few thousand years, you know, but Aristotle had that also. I shouldn't say that. It's this idea, it's fairly obvious to the thinkers throughout the ages. And it's something that when you make the comparison between the Torah is simply taking that idea and applying it to a Derech HaChaim. It's taking what is a Derech HaChaim we should be, using the principles of Chachma, Tefillah, and Das, and then embody them in a Derech HaChaim for a person. Okay.
Where is Aaron?
Yes. Yeah, Yaakov was asking, like, why is it used to Shio Mizima for the Torah, the two words? And Mizima means, Rashi defines it as Eitzah. Like the Eitzah, like the strategy of the Torah. That makes sense. Rashi in Perek Aleph, in the very beginning, he defines it as a strategy. And that makes sense that the Torah gives you the strategy of Chachma. That's pretty much the idea I'm saying. What does Tushia mean? Again, you know, the problem is Rashi at no point really defines what Tushia really means. You know, Mitzudah says it, Tushia means like the Maisa. It's like Maisa Machshava, like the actions of Torah and like the thought process of the Torah. I just don't know why Tushia would mean the Maisim exactly. You said there's Gemaras that say Tushia means like Bechashai. I forgot the other ones. They say it's like Yesh from like existence, or I just don't know. I remember at one point I did a search and tried to see if Rashi at any point really defines it, but I don't think I was so successful. So basically, I don't really have a good definition of Tushia. Mizima is the idea of Torah as a strategy. But I don't really know how Rashi learns Tushia other than to say it refers to the Torah. That he does say. But I don't really have an answer for that. Okay. And the other part is this idea that Torah and Chachma are the same and they're equated, and that's the principle that underlies reality, is this Chachma, Tefillah, and Das, which is the Torah. That's the point he's saying, Al yaluzu me'einecha, Nitzor Tushia Mizima, is that you have to, that's like an important point. And if you do that, you chayim l'nafshecha, that's the Eitz Chayim l'machazikim bo. That's what Rashi refers to, right? Shrei Eitz Chayimi, and that's a chayim l'gagar secha. So the benefits of the Torah, you'll be able to hang on to the Torah, and it will be, you'll benefit from it. It'll be chayim l'gagar secha. People will appreciate you, will like you based upon your attachment to the Torah. A key idea which will enable you to sustain yourself in the Torah is this point, is realizing that the world and the Torah run on the same principles. And just like you don't understand everything in the universe, you're not going to understand everything in the Torah. You're going to have questions about the universe. You're going to have questions about the Torah. And then, you know, the min is going to come up to you and he's going to try to convince you. And you're going to have these bad things that happen. You're going to have questions. You're going to have doubts. But like, if you have to stand firm, you can't, you can't let particular questions make you remove you from the focus on the fact that the underlying essence of Torah is Chachma, and that's the underlying essence of the universe, and this is the general Derech HaChaim, and by virtue of which you'll be happy and successful. Okay, you have to like focus on that in a primary sense, you know, and that will enable you to tolerate isolated questions and problems that will arise in your life, in your conversations, and in your interactions with people in the world. If you keep this idea grounded, realizing that this is how the world works, this is the essence of Torah, and this has to be the right way to lead life, a life of Chachma and Das and Tun, and all the other ways of life must be in conflict with reality, because the world is made in this way. The world is made from Chachma, so it's got to be that this is the proper life to be in line with the world and to be successful, even though it might seem like there's, you know, what we'll get to, that there's that there seems to be other options that might be more successful and better. It's a distortion, it's an illusion, okay? And it will raise questions. It's not so easy to always see through them, but you sometimes have to have the underlying attachment and commitment to these concepts, especially this idea of how God made the universe and how God made the Torah, and that the identity between those two. That will allow you to really hold on to the Torah and it be an Eitz Chaim for you and Chayin L'Gagar Osecha. Okay. Last psukim in this section is Oz Telech Lebetach Darkecha V'Ragel Chalosigov. Right, then you will be able to walk securely. Your feet will not stumble. Okay. In Tishka V'Sivchad V'Shechavta V'Nashah Secha. If you lie down, you won't be afraid. And you'll lie down, you'll have sweet sleep. You will not be afraid. You won't be afraid. You'll be pleasant with your sleep. You won't be afraid from sudden, unexpected disasters. You won't be afraid. When a collapse and disaster strikes the Rishayim, you will not be afraid. Why? Hashem will be your security. And will guard you from any kind of traps and things like that. So Rashi has two pshatim, one is b'mivtachacha, like your security, like I've been translating. He says, davar acher b'dvarim sh'atak sil bam, and things that you are a fool in them, b'kislecha. So Hashem will be with you in things that you are foolish in. That's Yishalmi, based on Yishalmi. Okay, so I'll try to explain that both those pshatim. What does it mean that God will be your security? Or it means, what does it mean that God will be with you in things that you're foolish in? Okay. So the idea is that if you use wisdom and you use Chachma, then you'll be able to proceed confidently throughout life. Why? Because you'll have the confidence and the knowledge and the security that the best way of life is the life of Chachma. You'll have, it won't be just based upon what your parents told you, what your friends are doing, what your people around you are doing. And, you know, and those people oftentimes fail, and that changes throughout the times. It's when you have knowledge, it's what's amazing about Chachma and knowledge is that you can actually have knowledge, that using knowledge is the most successful way of life. You know what I mean? It's not just, you're not just banking on it or trusting other people. You're able to see firsthand that through wisdom, that using wisdom is the best way to lead life. And that can give a person security because you really have knowledge in what you're doing, that the Derech HaChaim that you're choosing really is the best way to lead life. And you're able to analyze problems and using wisdom to realize what is within your control, what is outside your control. And the things that are in your control, you know that the best way to deal with them is to use Chachma, to analyze the problem, take the appropriate risks, make the right decisions, and there's nothing more that can be done. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as magic. Good luck charms don't work. You know, that we don't rely on some some lucky chances to bail you out, things like that. But you act with wisdom and intelligence in everything that you do. And that's the most you can do in things that are in your control. And the things that are outside your control, well, they're outside of your control. And there's nothing you can do about them. And those things are the things that are bikislecha, things that you're foolish in. Things that you're foolish in means that there are certain things that your wisdom will not help you with. You know what I mean? A person you're going to get some strange disease. Okay, some strange genetic disease, whether you have that or not. There's nothing you can do about that. That's just not something that's subject to your chachma is going to be able to change that. Many people spend their lives worrying about, right, but they go to sleep and they're terrified. Maybe they have some strange disease. Maybe, maybe there's something, maybe something crazy happened. Their kids are away in school. Maybe something crazy happened. Maybe there's a bomb went off or a plane crashed. You're always worrying about things that are outside your control. People worry about things outside the control because they don't use chachma to analyze the world into things that are in their control and things that are outside the control. The wisdom gives you that security because it lets you resolve the world into these two components. We realize, and the parts that are outside your control, like Kobi De Shemayim, you realize ultimately it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's nothing really else you can do for things outside your control than trust in God. He's your security. He's your security because it doesn't mean you know that he's going to take care of that if you misfollow, that it's all going to work out perfectly the way you want it to work out. But you realize that this is what you have. You have the things in your control, you have your chachma. Things that are you can use chachma for, because no matter how much the chachma, your wisdom is equal to your foolishness. You're excel in these things because you can't see them coming. There's certain things you just simply cannot predict. No matter how much chachma you have, you can't predict certain things. Then those things you realize, ki Hashem yeh b'chislecha. All you really have is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And will he help you? Will he not help you? You don't have any guarantees. What you do know is that there is a hashkacha to protect the person who's shomer Torah and mitzvos, who keeps the Darkei Hashem. You know there is a hashkacha. You know there's such a thing as that. Well, how that plays out, it's true you don't know the particulars of how that will play out, but you know that the ultimate you can do in things that are outside of your control is tefillah and bitachon Hashem, and the fact that you're committed to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you serve him and you do keep his Torah and his mitzvos, that's the best way to make available to yourself his hashkacha and the midas of rachamim to a person if you emulate his ways and things like that. That's basically what chachma can give you. And there's security in this way of life, of realizing that the way God made the world, he made the world through chachma, and therefore you have to use it for the things that you could use it on. And there's security knowing that's how reality works. It doesn't work by superstition. You don't have to worry about a person putting a voodoo curse on you. You don't have to worry about all these mystical things and spirits, and you don't have to worry about these things. They're not real. Chachma tells you what's real and what's not real, and that gives a person security that this is that these things that are within the realm of chachma, I know how to handle them. I know how to take the odds properly, and that's the you don't have to be afraid that there's some mystical thing out there, other powers that you're not taking into account, and then chachma lets you say, well, these other things are outside my control. I'm not going to worry about them. I'll be able to sleep with confidence because I know that there's nothing I can do about it. I've done everything I can, and I can rely on God and trust in God because there's nothing else. And that's something the Rasha doesn't have. The Rasha does not have that security. The Rasha does not know how to analyze the world. He doesn't use chachma, so he's not able to split up the world into things he can control, things he can't control. Either he thinks he can control everything, but then he realizes he can't control anything. You know what I mean? It's he ends up in a contradiction. He wants to feel in control of the whole world, but on the other hand, he realizes nothing seems to go his way all the time. So he has this tremendous insecurity and these worries and these fears. And because he doesn't act with wisdom in the things that are in his control, then Mishoas Rasham Kisavo, a lot of these disasters will strike him and he's unprepared, doesn't buy insurance when he should be buying insurance. Because he relied on his lucky rabbit's foot, so he doesn't take appropriate risk management and risk taking and things like that, that the chacham will be protected from. So the other thing that wisdom will give you, once you realize that the world runs on wisdom, and there's wisdom in the things you can control, and there's wisdom in approaching the things you can't control, and not worrying about them and trusting God for those things. So the other thing wisdom will give you is it will give you security. And it will give you tranquility. It will give you peace of mind. It will enable you to sleep at night. and you won't have to have the fears and the terrors that plague the person who doesn't run his life based upon chacham, who doesn't make these distinctions. That person really, their life is really one of fear and terror and bad things happening without understanding what's going on, a sense of the world makes no sense, and disorder. That's really a very scary kind of a world and a place to be in. And chacham will remove that from you and give you a world that's ordered, that makes sense. Not that everything is in your control. There's certain things that you're still exil in, but even those things that you're exil in, it will give you a method of approaching that by relying upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything, who made the world and who's and who protects those people who guard his Torah and follow the Derech HaChachma. Okay, so I'm saying you do have security in the method, not security in the outcome. You're not going to have a guarantee of results, but you will have security that this is the best method. You have the knowledge. Once you understand this, you know, the Chacham really knows and understands and is confident that this is the best method. And there's a security that comes from knowing that this is the right way to approach things. This is the proper methodology. There is nothing better and there's nothing else out there. And that gives a person tremendous security. It doesn't guarantee results, but you know that this is the best method to live by, and that is enough. And look, whatever happens, happens. You realize that the world isn't centered around you, so you can't really guarantee the result. It's impossible. You know what I mean? Once you realize something's impossible, it doesn't bother you that you don't have it. You realize there's no such thing in this world as a guarantee of results. You know, and there is also an element of Shema Yigram Achet, you know what I mean? For like by Yaakov, by Yir Yaakov Mod, by Yitzhilo. So that is an element that I'm not discussing over here. Leaving the Shema Yigram Achet aside, the main idea is that there's a tremendous security that comes from the method of Chachma and realizing and knowing that's the best way. You know, the fool and the Rasha, they have no knowledge. You know, they have no security that they're leading the right way. They just assume it. But it doesn't work out frequently. And whenever it doesn't work out, it shatters them. It shakes them to the core. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? The Chacham realizes, he knows with certainty that this is, that living a life of Chachma is the right life. And even if things don't work out, it doesn't shake him. He doesn't question his own methodology. He realizes, even if you use Chachma, some things don't always work out, that's part of the way the world is. So there's the security that this is the right method of life is what allows the Chacham to sleep at night and not to be afraid of these things. While the Rasha has zero security that his way of life is the best. This is the way of life he leads. He was raised that way, or he's become that way, influenced by his friends, however it happens to be. But he has no security that this is the right way. And he has no security in the results. And he has these fears and terrors because it's true. Bad things happen that he's unprepared for. He cannot foresee a lot of things. A lot of things that Chachma lets you see the future. Chacham is Ro'as HaNolad. You could see the future and anticipate them. Protect yourself. Buy insurance if something could destroy your life. So you insure yourself against that. Though Russia doesn't do that. He's lazy and he's foolish and he's doesn't use his mind to think about consequences. Just follows his instincts, his emotions. And therefore, he really suffers from a lot of fears and anxieties. Rightly so. Because he doesn't have, he's not leading the right way of life, and he's really exposed to many potential disasters that the Chacham can protect himself from.